Now that brings us to Turks in Leipzig. Now, as I said, Leipzig is a city, a commercial city, not a Residenzstadt, not a city in which the ruler lived. In fact, there was no ruler living in Leipzig, like a, you know, some sort of a prince or something. Leipzig was a bourgeois, middle-class town run by merchants and lawyers, basically. And it was left alone very much by the court. The court intervened when it had to, but basically let Leipzig sort of do its own thing. But everybody understood that the boss was really the Elector of Saxony in Dresden, or actually during most of this period in Poland, because the electors were more out of Saxony than in it. Let me get my train of thought now. I just sort of lost it with that push down there. But anyway, so the thing that characterized Leipzig more than anything else, and it was world famous for this, and I mean world famous, were the three fairs that took place every year for about 3 weeks. And merchants from all over would come. Leipzig is sort of at a crossroads. To the east was Poland and Russia. To the west, of course, Western Europe. To the north, you have the Baltic Sea and the sort of Scandinavian area and so on. To the south, you have Bohemia, Hungary, Greece, the Mediterranean, the Ottoman Empire, okay? So, and people came from all those directions to spend time and bargain and barter and purchase and sell in these Leipzig fairs. Everything, you know, it was a major book. I've seen book catalogs from the fairs from this period. You know, thousands of books listed by different publishers. Tobacco people came in, you know, to set up tobacco contracts and so on. Needless to say, coffee as well, and so in this way, various kinds of goods from the Ottoman Empire came to Leipzig. So there certainly were some Muslims who came, some Turks who came into Leipzig during this period. I haven't been able to find out a lot about that or precise numbers. It's interesting, we do have, and this is a kind of a footnote, precise information about Jews. And Jews were not allowed to live in Leipzig. I'm not sure that Muslims were either. But they had been banned in the 16th century. But they were allowed, of course, to come in for the fair because that was good for business for the local Leipzig merchants. So they were able to come, but they had to register. And those records have been saved. I mean, they survived the Holocaust and everything. So we actually know the names of at least the heads of family of all the Jews that came to the Leipzig fairs for about a 300-year period, including this period that we're talking about today. I don't think there are any such records for Turks. But if they came, they probably had some restrictions on them as well. This was not so unusual. All over Europe, things like that were true. The kind of open tolerance that we sort of hope for today didn't really exist. I'd also add, like Huguenots didn't have it easy either. And Lutheran was an Orthodox Lutheran city, and Catholics, even though the king was a Catholic, the only way you could hear Mass in Leipzig during this period was to go to the elector's castle, which is where he sort of had his military guard posted, and every Sunday there was a Mass there, but there was no Catholic church allowed in Leipzig. So, you know, there's a lot of prejudice to go around in those days. And part of this has to do with a general Lutheran antipathy towards the Turks, which began with Martin Luther himself. Many of you know he wrote some pretty awful things about the Jews. He also wrote some pretty awful things about Catholics, and he sort of lumped Catholics, Turks, and Jews into the same boat, you know, and felt that all of them were, interfering with God's plan of salvation, because he was expecting the second coming, any year now, you know, and things weren't working out right. So towards the end of his life, Luther had a rough time. But he published a number of texts and hymns that were sung in Lutheran churches, and which Bach, in two cases, in two Bach cantatas, these lines are found, and in which both in the same sentence, the Turks and the papacy are denounced. And so you can find that in two Bach cantatas. You cannot find, interestingly, any specifically anti-Judaic lines in Bach cantatas. All right. I have a little note there. I was told this by Hans-Joachim Schulze, who was the former director of the Bach Archiv in Leipzig, because I was asking him some things about the kind of the others in Leipzig. And he mentioned that one of Bach's students had married a Turk. But this was a converted Turk, and just as when Jews converted, it was made a big deal, it was a big town celebration practically, so too when a Muslim converted, they would have a big celebration as well in these Lutheran towns back in those days.